Oh, it's so good to see everybody here. Of all the services that I participate in each year, I think this is my favorite. All of us together, the excitement of the children, the unpredictability of the children, the unpredictability of the pastor. I am guessing that many of the families here tonight will not need an alarm clock to wake you up tomorrow morning, right? I can remember in our house when my kids were small, I would count on them coming to our room at the crack of dawn, giddy with excitement to go downstairs and see what awaited them. You might ask why they did not just bypass our room and go downstairs on their own. It was because their mother, my precious wife, had just one rule on Christmas morning. No one was allowed downstairs until she was in place, ready to document it all on our video camera. Our kids are growing now, and we still are not allowed downstairs until indeed under camera ready. But is there any other day of the year that is filled with more excitement than the one we celebrate tomorrow? And for all of us, no matter how young or how old, we should all awake with a sense of giddy excitement because of what this day represents. And what is that? It is a day that the miracle of God's presence here on earth with we humans that he created was fulfilled in the birth of Jesus. You know, we talk a good bit in church circles about God's presence in our lives. We exalt when we sense it, mourn when we don't. And Christmas being a time when we are most focused on God's coming to this world, I thought I might use my talk tonight to take a brief look at how God made his presence known throughout the centuries. You know, it all begins back in the Garden of Eden, where prior to his disobeying God and allowing sin into the world, Adam experiences God's presence regularly. You know, we tend to misunderstand how that was. We picture Adam down here on earth and God somewhere far off in the heavenly realms. But that is not how the writer of Genesis describes it. He gives us a picture of God and Adam, in a sense, doing life together. When Adam named the animals, God was right there. When Adam first laid eyes on Eve, God was right there. The writer says that Adam and God would go on walks together in the cool of the day. There was this intimate relation between the two. God was with Adam in everything. And then came the entry of sin into this world. How was that? Well, in its most basic sense, Adam was not satisfied just experiencing God's presence. Adam wanted to be in control, to be God of his world. We are all guilty of the same thing. We see it even in a young child. A little girl, 5 years old, is talking to her baby sister. And she's setting out for her younger sibling her theological view of how their relationship is to play out. So she repeats over and over in a very stern voice, "Obey God. You have to obey God. You better obey God. You must obey God." There is this moment of silence, and then she says, "And I'll be God." That was Adam's problem. He wanted to be God. And that attitude is played out in Adam doing the one thing God had commanded him not to do. And so sin enters the human experience. Now, you might think at this point God would give up on these humans he had created. God and Adam can no longer experience the intimacy of the relationship they had before because Adam has chosen to reject God. So I could understand if God had walked away from the human race. But that would fail to take into account the incredible love that God had for his creation. So he continues over the course of the centuries to give the human race a glimpse of the fact that he is not done in making his presence known. There were certain individuals in the Old Testament, like Jacob, who, although he does not get it at first, ends up experiencing the miracle of God's presence. Jacob's son, Joseph, goes through a number of storms of injustice in his life. Betrayed by his own family, sold into slavery, thrown into prison. And yet in each instance, the writer says to us these words, "And the Lord was with Joseph." Even in the most difficult of times, God makes it clear that we are not alone, that he is still there. God makes his presence known to an entire people through a pillar of fire that allows Moses to lead them out of slavery to the promised land. All these are reminders that in spite of what had happened and Adam rejecting him in the garden, that God had not given up on us. And then the next big step in God expressing his desire for us to experience his presence takes place in the event that we are just hours away from celebrating. Because God says, now is the time. I'm going down there for an extended visit. And he comes to this world as a baby. A baby with a special name. It's written about in Matthew 1:23. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means what? God with us. Can we pause for a moment and allow that to sink in? God sends Jesus so that you and I can be assured of God's presence. That's the miracle of Christmas. I read this verse this past Sunday, two Sundays ago, but I'm going to go a little further with it this time. And this is Hebrews 1. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he, the Son, Jesus, is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. Up until this moment, God spoke to the people primarily through the prophets and in individual instances. But now he sends a baby into this world, a baby who embodies the exact imprint of God's very being. And God is saying to us tonight, if you want to know of my desire to be present with you, look at that baby in the manger. Because that baby Jesus, the way he is born into the world and the manner in which he will leave this world are the ultimate expressions of God's love for us and desire to be with us. Why? Why go to this length of leaving heaven to come to this earth? Why not just keep the system of speaking through prophets that had been in place up to now? I shared last week of the joy my wife Nadine and I have of having our first grandchild. She is actually here tonight, her first trip to Cedar Run, so I'd like Cedar Run to welcome Addison Grace Morris, who's here. Now I want to share with you a true story of a baby and a grandfather that I hope may give us a glimpse of why God chose to leave heaven for this world. This man's daughter gave birth to a young baby girl who was born very premature. In fact, she was so small at birth, the grandfather could take his wedding ring and slide it over her fist all the way up to her shoulder. They named her Zoe, which was Greek for life. And if the premature birth was not challenge enough, there was no father in the picture. So the granddad was it. And he felt such a responsibility, so he asked God to show him how he could best let that little one know how much he loved her. God answered him through this nurse, who pulled him aside and gave him a simple directive. She said, your job as a surrogate father is to visit Zoe every day. And when you do, you gently rub her body with the tip of your finger. And while you are caressing her, you tell her over and over and over how much you love her. Because then she will be able to connect your voice to your touch, to connect your words of love with the love that she feels in your touch. And so the grandpa did this day in and day out, week in and week out, and that little baby thrived and grew up to be a wonderful young girl. You see, friends, God has spoken through the prophets. But on that first Christmas, he spoke through his Son. And we were able to connect his words with his touch as he came to be with us and to allow us to experience his presence in a real, tangible way. So God is present with us. But the question tonight is this one. Is he present with you? You see, you get to choose whether you want to open yourself up to him. Jesus would one day say these words found in Revelation 3:20. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. It is a simple illustration we can all understand. If someone comes to your home, they will knock on your door, and you get to choose whether or not you will open the door and let them in. Well, God not only came to the world that first Christmas in the person of Jesus, he now comes to the door of your life. This is the true miracle of Christmas. And the greatest tragedy I can think of is for him to knock and knock and knock and for us to never open the door to invite him in. Long before his birth, the prophet Isaiah would give us some names for this child who would be born in that manger, one of which was Prince of Peace. Jesus came that first Christmas morning so that we could end our rebellion against God and experience peace with him. We talked earlier of the sin that separates us from God. It is a debt that I could never make right on my own. So God sends this wrinkled little Jewish baby with tiny little hands, hands that would one day be nailed to a cross to pay the debt that I could not. And it is through trusting in his death to pay my sin debt that I experience peace with God and the forgiveness that comes with it. Perhaps you are here tonight and you can sense Jesus knocking right now. You need to just open the door and let him in. To say, I want to be at peace with you, God. I am ready to cease trying to somehow earn your forgiveness, but rather to receive it as the free gift that Jesus came and died to give me access to. Friends, the miracle of Christmas is that the God of all things, the one who created millions of galaxies, made his presence known by coming to this world that first Christmas morning in the baby Jesus. And that very same Jesus is present right here, right now, at your chair, knocking on the door of your heart. Can you hear that knock? Can you feel it? God is saying to you, I want to be present with you for all eternity. Miracle of Christmas is best described in some words from a devotion that my wife sent to me this morning, and I will close with it. It reads as follows: God throws open the door of this world and enters as a baby, as the most vulnerable imaginable, because he wants unimaginable intimacy with me. What is Christmas? It is God doing whatever it takes to be with me, and my doing whatever it takes to be with him. Friends, God is knocking. All you have to do is invite him in. And if you do, I promise you that the miracle of Christmas 2018 will be your own personal Christmas miracle. Because Emmanuel's coming to this earth won't just mean you can repeat the words, God is with us. It will also mean that you can say the words, God is with me. At this, I'm going to ask the worship team. They're going to come back up. The ushers are going to come down here. We always close our service here, our services on Christmas Eve, with a candle lighting to illustrate that God came so we could know his presence in Jesus, but also Jesus came as the light of the world. So that light, the light of what we've talked about tonight, will shine in all of us. So they're going to come forward, and I am going to light each of their candles, and they're going to come down the aisles. And whoever's on the end, they're going to light yours on the end, and you're going to turn and light the person next to you as we go down the aisle. And then when we're done, the entire congregation of the church will be lit. Two things, just be careful with the candles.